Can we just one more time, just with a sense of appreciation, give a wonderful appreciation offering to those families, and amen. Amen. And those guys running the clock, I just want to let you know that we switched it from last night, so I have more than 20 minutes. You may want to pause that, because I will not obey that clock. Because last night we changed up a little bit, and we felt like this is a better way to do the service today. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming out on a holiday weekend. You know, so many times you never know who's going to be at church on a holiday weekend. And look at all these people at church on a holiday weekend. Give yourselves a hand. I think that's pretty awesome. How many of you, just to ask a question and see who's in the room that we're talking to today, how many of you have seen the video from last Sunday night? Would you raise your hand? Or what? Or were present there. Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you did not see the video and were not present last week? Raise your hand. Okay. So you have no idea what I'm about to say. Okay. All right. Well, go ahead and put your hand down. I said that kind of harshly. I didn't mean to. You can set your hand down. Last Sunday night, Maria and I called a family meeting because the Lord has been working in us for about a year on something, and we prayed about it for a long time. And then halfway through that year, the Lord gave me a prophetic dream to kind of try to help me out again. And I still didn't want to listen. And over the course of the following 3 months, the Lord finally got a hold of my heart and told me that I needed to listen and to do everything according to what he was telling me to do. And what we let everyone know last Sunday night was that God has spoken to us about laying down Life Church and trusting him for our next ministry season. In 2018, the beginning of 2018, God began to shift some things, move some things. I didn't totally understand what that meant. And so I began to pursue greater vision and greater things here for Life Church, because this is our home. This is where God has planted us. And even from the beginning, we would always say, this is our life's work. That's always been that way. And I didn't understand the things in my spirit. And so it was interesting, because in the beginning of 2018, in my journal, I had a brand new journal, and the very first entry I made in 2018, God began to speak to me about dreams. He took me through Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2 and began to explain to me that God still gives dreams. We're a spirit-filled church, and we believe that God speaks through dreams and visions. It's not his primary way. He speaks primarily through the word and to your spirit by his spirit, but he will use dreams and visions to show you things to make sure that they're plain. This is something I've learned. If you're taking notes today, because there are going to be some little nuggets, one thing I have learned in prophetic dreaming is if God is speaking to you about something in a prophetic dream, it will be very clear and there will be direct action involved. Some people say they had a prophetic dream because they saw a rainbow in their dream and a flying pizza and a unicorn, and they saw, you know, whatever. And they're like, God spoke to me. If God speaks to you in a dream, you will know exactly what he means. You will know exactly that he's communicating something very specific to you. And I can take you through the scriptures where those are. And you say, well, Pastor Kevin, how come you didn't understand when God spoke to you in your dream? The truth is, I did understand. I just didn't like what I heard. And so it was challenging for me to get to the place to accept it. And in my dream, and you can go back, and I really encourage you, if you did not hear the whole story, please do yourself and your family a favor and go back and watch the video. It's on the church website, lifechurchag.com, and it's also on the church's Facebook page. And I want you to listen to it in its entirety. I cannot redo that service. There was an anointing on that service last Sunday night. We were able to communicate absolutely everything. Today we felt it was a transitional weekend. And so many of you have heard the story, some of you have not, but this would be that weekend of kind of in between, like we're all seeing each other for the first time, and we want to recommunicate a couple things, but also give you some scripture that God's been sharing with me that I'm supposed to share with you. And the next week starts June, and I have 3 Sundays in June that I'll be preaching full-blown sermons. And believe me, I will take advantage of those 3 Sundays, and I will get my preach on, okay? And so I would encourage you, come out. It's this new series called Night at the Museum. Something the Lord spoke to me about museums is museums look at the past in order to create a better future. And I believe Life Church has a tremendous future in front of it. We'll talk about that in just a minute. So we'll remember some things, but only remember them in order to continue to move forward. God never wants you living in the past. He's a now future. Amen. That's where he wants you, now and into your future. He's wanting you to look forward. Your windshield is bigger than your rearview mirror. Can I hear an amen? And so God's got more things ahead of you than there are behind you. So I encourage you to come out to those last three series sermons. And then the last weekend is June 22nd, 3rd, June 23rd. That's a Sunday. We won't be having Saturday night service. We won't be having Rockford campus service. And we won't be having a 9 o'clock service. We're going to do one service with everybody at 10 o'clock that day. So please put that on your calendar. June 23rd, it's our final service, the celebration service as a couple here, as your pastors here. And then we're going to have a big church picnic afterwards. And we're just going to fellowship and have a good time and enjoy each other in that afternoon. So I really want to encourage everybody to do whatever you can to be here in those services, and then especially that last weekend. So in the dream, let me take you back there to catch some of you up, and I'll just give you some highlights and we'll share some things. In the dream, the Lord told me very clearly to let go of Roscoe and Rockford. He said it specifically, the two names of the two churches, Roscoe and Rockford, because he wanted me to lay hold of a new ministry assignment. And I've taught that to us before. In order for you to lay hold of stuff, you've got to let go of some stuff because your hands are full. You can't pick up the next thing because your hands are full of the present thing. And that's what the Lord was speaking to me on. I did not like it. I didn't understand it. And I thought maybe the Lord was saying something else. And so I was like, well, maybe what God wanted us to do was work harder in the city of Rockford and do a new work in a different part of the city of Rockford and to try to, and it was me trying to stay. And you just have to know this church is a hard church to let go of because you're a great church. Some pastors, it's easy to let go of their church because they didn't like their church in the first place. We absolutely love you guys. And even in worship, I'm enjoying worship so much. And even in that, I remember talking to the Lord. Lord, the church is so healthy. The church is so good. Worship is so good. The facilities are the best they've ever been. The staff is the best it's ever been. The board is amazing. Everything is amazing. And you're asking me to lay it down. And then he reminded me that whenever he asks for an offering, he always asks for it when it's healthy. He asks for it not with a broken leg or a blind eye or diseased. He wants your best. And so here the church is, I believe, in one of its best seasons, and this is the best time for me to offer the church as an offering and to lay it down. It's also a great reminder because we've always told the Lord that, God, it's your church, it's not our church. So how can I ever refuse when God asks for his own stuff back? Because you don't belong to us. I know sometimes in the American church culture, we kind of build church around a couple or a personality, and we say, that's Pastor Kevin and Maria's church, and that's actually not accurate. You belong to Jesus Christ. The head of this church isn't Kevin and Maria. We were stewards of this church, but we're not the head of this church. The head is Jesus. And Jesus has more to write in the story of Life Church. And what he was letting us know was, the writing in the future of Life Church just doesn't include our story. It doesn't include us. He has a new story for us personally, but he's continuing your story. Which also says a couple things, which I want to encourage you with. It says that God knows what's going to be happening in the next season of your life because you're the church, not the buildings, the people. God knows the next season of your life, and he knows the teachings that you're going to need to be successful in that season. He knows the spirit that you're going to need to be a part of. He knows the worship you're going to need to enjoy and receive and drink from. The Lord knows how to bring you into your next season. So God is not, hopefully you see this, that this is not something that God's doing in Kevin and Maria. This is something that God is doing in a changing of season and in a creation of more in your life as well. Because we're all connected. We're a body. And so God is bringing you into more as he's bringing us into more. You might say, well, Pastor Kevin and Maria, where are you going? At this moment, we don't know where we're going yet. The Lord didn't give us that part. He showed us the ministry. He showed us a church. We will be pastoring somewhere. We just don't know where yet. But that's the walk of faith. The just shall live by faith. And it's easy sometimes to say, oh, God called me, when you know everything on the other side. It's another level to say we're walking by faith, like God spoke to Abraham, get going, and I will show you the land that I will lead you to. And that's, we've preached faith our whole life. Jesus is the boss. And so when he says, pack up and get going, you get going. And we've trusted his character throughout our entire life, and we trust him in this next season. But my priority right now isn't even about our next season. Our priority right now is to make sure in these next 4 weeks that all of you are completely locked in to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus, your head, and to go into your next season excited, to go into your next season believing and trusting God. You want to share a little bit on that? Family or whatever? Go ahead.
He took what I was going to say. No, but I really want to echo what he was mentioning about the video, because we really don't have in the time here, we don't have the amount of time to truly go into all of those things that are in our heart. And I just want to echo that we love Life Church. We love you so much. In the past 16 years have been, you are our family. Our kids were born here. We believed God for children here. our children have grown up here. You have walked with us. You've loved them well. You've loved our family well. You have prayed with us through surgeries and just everything with Isaiah and everything. And we just, you are a part of us. I mean, Life Church is, I don't even know how to say that any differently, but we just love you very, very much. And so moving into the next season, we get to take you with us. And I think you mentioned something about that last night, of just as much as, we've had the privilege to be a part of your lives. You've been a part of our lives, and you, the Lord's used you in so many ways to grow us and to help us become everything that we are now. And we're not done growing by any means, but we just, like, you're coming with us. That's all. I don't know how else to say that other than you're coming with us into the next. And so, go ahead. I'll come back.
This isn't a sermon today. It's sharing. So this is real, just us. When we were 27 years old, we said yes to coming to this church with 18 people. And so everything we've learned, the Holy Spirit has taught us through our journey together. And so he's telling us now we got to go bring that experience, bring those things that we've learned to another place, another region. But that's all that you've helped develop in us together. So you might be asking, so what's next? So what's going to happen to us as Life Church? And that's kind of the beauty of the story as well. Myself and Maria, the board, we really, looking back, you can always see God's provision as you look backwards sometimes. And 3 years ago, an awesome couple joined our team, Pastors Ken and Crystal Hansen. Pastors Ken and Crystal, yeah, you can celebrate that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're on vacation this week and the next couple weeks per our request, because we wanted them to get rested up before they come back and, take leadership. So they'll be here the weekend of Father's Day weekend. So that story. Pastors Ken and Crystal successfully led their church in Bolingbrook for 25 years. They're long-term, long-haul people. Quality individuals, character, integrity, very intelligent, very compassionate. Many of you have already been blessed by their ministry, blessed by their personal ministry. And, in this story, we didn't bring them in, and even Ken will tell you this, Pastor Ken will say this, that he didn't come thinking he would ever be a lead pastor again. He was totally happy just serving Maria and I in this church. But God knows. God knows what he's doing, and he's bringing things and putting things into pieces. And the reason I want you to bring that out is I want you to see God's hand in this story, so that you realize that God isn't just paying attention to Kevin and Maria, but he's doing something in all of our lives, all of our lives. And it reminds me of Abraham. If you remember the story where God asked Abraham to lay down an offering, Isaac, and then in the same token, in the same turn, God had provided for Abraham in a ram in a thicket right next to them. And it's kind of similar where God is speaking to us about the offering, and God's already provided the solution in that moment in Ken and Crystal Hansen. And so a lot of churches don't have that opportunity. See, Pastors Ken and Crystal, the reason they came in the first place was because they already identified with our beliefs and our heart. Our spirits were very kindled. Though they're different than us, we have a similar spirit. and they believe in the things that we believe in, things of the move of the Spirit, things in the healing ministries, deliverance ministries, prophetic ministries, you know, all these things that make Life Church, they already had a heart for and a belief for. But then now they've been here 3 years and really picked up the culture and the DNA, and Pastor Ken has helped me even put to language a lot of our values and the things that you're already enjoying about Life Church. Pastor Ken and Crystal have already been a big part of helping those things be created. So you're already enjoying and you already kind of know who they are. So it's not this big mystery of who will be taking leadership over Life Church. And like I said, a lot of churches, they don't necessarily have someone of that caliber waiting. And so they have to go out into this wandering period when there's transition. And that we all know, pastors know, and all the district leadership and the Assemblies of God, we know that is not the healthiest way to transition a church. To just remove those that have been the leadership and let the church wander for 6 months to a year, and you bring in three or four different candidates, and they kind of entertain you for a quick sermon on a weekend, and somehow you're supposed to vote them in to be your covering. It's just a very challenging, and it's not a very healthy way, easy way. God has used it, obviously. God has used that way, but it's not the ideal. And when God sets something up like this to where the culture can continue to grow, it'll change because the personalities are different people, but it'll continue to be a continuation of the church's story. There's this easy transition. There's this healthy transition. So there, some of you might have questioned, you know, isn't there some form of an election process, though, in this transition? Yes, there is. So here's how it works legally or in our constitution. The board is the search committee, and they've decided, and we agree, that the first candidate or first persons that you should consider would be those that are already in the house, those that are already part of this culture. And so the last weekend of June, there will be opportunity to elect Pastors Ken and Crystal Hansen. We think that's the way that should work. We believe that's God's plan and God's way of leading things and putting things up. So there will be that opportunity to cast a ballot for the members, only the members, that last weekend of June.
Absolutely. And we're, we couldn't be more excited to see how God's orchestrated this. One thing that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt and truly believe with every part of our fiber of our being is that, and that it's been confirmed time and time again. I mean, when we came into this and finally got our head around the fact that the Lord was saying transition was coming for us, we really felt like Pastors Ken and Crystal were to take it, but we're scared of having that conversation because didn't quite know how that would go because they'd always said we weren't allowed to go anywhere. So So there was a little bit of trepidation involved, but even in that, and it's their story to tell, and I'll let them share it as they choose, but the confirmations that have come out of that have even solidified it for our own heart, and that this journey is such a God thing. And even just to kind of let you see how beautiful it is, I'm so grateful to the Lord for the health of this of how this whole thing is functioning, that we get to be a part of it. And we were friends with them long before they came. We're still friends. We're going to continue to be friends. Our kids will continue to come to church here after our final Sunday if we're not in our next place, which we probably won't be for a while. So they'll be here. My parents, if you know them, will continue to make Life Church their home. So that's beautiful as well. So hopefully that all speaks to you that there's not some, you know,
look at me in that moment, and it's just an awkward moment when you look at me like,
there's nothing else.
It's just awkward.
It is awkward. I don't know how else to say it. Maybe the Lord will give me a better way to say it. But our families will still be here. It's just a beautiful, healthy thing. We know that the Lord is moving us out primarily because we're just very opinionated leaders. So
We need to give them space.
And we need to give Pastors Ken and Crystal space to lead and not be here and hijack that. That's part of the health of that transition as well. And so we're very well aware of that. And we're excited to see what God has for the next season. And so something you can pray for us for is, yes, we don't know where that next season is. So please be praying with us that, you know, that just happens and it's God's timing, God's place, and, you know, the transition and selling our home and all of those pieces that go with it. And but I'll let you dive into that, and then I'll dive into this. Or do you want me to dive this? Okay. All right. Well, then I get to do that first. All right. So one of the things that I wanted to share with you and that God's just been really making clear to me this week, and hopefully this will bless you, because we all, you know, the Bible says that the just live by faith, right? Yeah, amen, that we walk by faith. Do we understand that, right? That the Bible says that as a believer, we trust God, and trusting God and taking him at his word is called faith. And faith without works is dead. How many of you understand that? It's not, that it just makes sense that when you trust God, you believe God, that there's works and actions that follow that up, right? If you trust God, then your life is going to go in that direction. It's going to show the steps that you take, the decisions that you make will show that you trust and believe God. Amen?
Yeah,
and that's not just us. That's all of us. We all, as children of God, as believers, we walk by faith. That's just how we choose to do life when we give our lives to the Lord. That's just how we choose to do life. And so it's been so fun. I'm not saying that emotions, you're sitting there like, God, you know, but this whole faith journey, this walking by faith thing is, it's definitely a journey. But one of the scriptures that the Lord brought to my heart this week, that I've read this scripture a million times over, but it's really stuck out. How many of you have ever done that? Like different times in different seasons, and the Lord uses a different scripture, and it's Hebrews 11:6, and it says this, and it is impossible to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. And I've heard that scripture so many times throughout my life, and I've thought, yes, that's true. And this week, it was almost like the Lord was saying, okay, Maria, and this is for you too. This isn't just for me, but the Lord was saying, okay, Maria, like we're stepping out and trusting God in faith. What is it that the Lord's talking to you about? What is it the Lord's talking to you about to do? What area are you having to trust him? What area are you stepping out in faith doing? And I want to encourage you, when you take that step, the Bible says it's impossible to please him without faith. You know, you are pleasing him, and sometimes it feels scary. Sometimes it feels unsure. Sometimes we kind of feel like, oh gosh, should I trust you? Should I not trust you? But he's pleased when we step out in faith, and you have a good, good father. And you know what? The next part of that entire chapter in Hebrews, it goes on, and it's God's hall of fame. And it lists person by person by person, normal people who went on to do amazing exploits, great things through faith and trusting God. And another, yes, we've always preached faith, but when you're in the middle of it, it becomes alive. And I know that we're not the, what are you laughing at?
No, you're right.
I'm like, what did I say? Okay. Yes, when you're in the middle of it, it becomes alive. And so God begins to wake these things up inside of me. And you can look for God speaking to you in lots of different ways throughout throughout your day. But I was in a store, because God speaks in stores. Amen, girls? Amen? Amen? Okay, thank you. I was in a store, and I picked up a bracelet, and I put it on my Facebook, and it says, Walk by Faith. And I saw that, and I thought, you know what? Stop. I'm trying to encourage over here. And he's laughing. Okay.
It just seems like Jesus speaks a lot of jewelry for you.
He
like,
does.
Just really, you have this in particular anointing.
Loud and clear.
At the jewelry counter.
I don't think I'm alone in that.
Some of you, you're going to tell your husbands, we're going to go listen to Jesus today. We're going to the jewelry store. Jesus and Jared, you know what I'm saying? Like.
Yes, I like this whole thing. All right, okay. But the bracelet said walk by faith, and it says walk by faith. And you know the fun part about that is obviously most people will be drawn to the word faith because it's the predominant one where you're trusting. But you know what? The word that stood out to me was the word walk. Because I realized, again, that faith without works is dead. And when you trust God, there's action involved. And you don't always see the whole end result, but all you have is a word to go on. All you have is his leading. All you have is his guidance. All you have is his direction. And you know that God said it, so then my job is to begin to walk. And that he fulfills every single promise after that, right? He comes through. And what's really fun is you get to this place, God's given us dreams, God's given us passion in our heart, and you get to this place where it's like, okay, God, you know what? I'm gonna do what you've called me to do. But there's a point where it's going to come to where you're going to have to put your super on this whole thing because I and myself can't make this come together. I can't make it all line up. I can't make it all work out. But I'm trusting you, and I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to walk, and I'm going to choose to move in the direction that you're calling me to move. Amen? And that's what we do as believers. Is it easy? No. Are you always in this place where you're like, yes? No. There's moments where it's like, you know, and you kind of get, you, the fear creeps in or worry or whatever, but you just pull yourself back to center and you say, you know what, God, you said, so I'm going to choose to trust. I'm going to choose to obey you. And I think often of the Israelites when they were leaving Egypt and God blessed them on the way out and did so many signs and wonders, but how easy, and we look at them and think, how in the world did they start complaining and worshiping other gods and building idols when they just saw God do amazing things on the other side of it? And from this vantage point, we see that God was ready to take them right into their promised land. But when they got off track, then they ended up wandering, right? Do you remember the story? And we can see it clearly, but when you're in the middle of it, you can feel that pressure and you can see it. But God always comes through and he's always faithful. So I just want to encourage you that without faith, it's impossible.
I want to talk too.
Okay, go ahead and talk.
Sheesh. I get 3 weeks, so I get 3 weeks. All right. You know, there's two types of faith that the Lord's been talking to me about that we go through, faith journeys. The first one that we've identified in our life is when the enemy comes in, tries to steal something, like tries to steal your health or your finances, and you know that you need to engage your faith, you know, to fight against, because don't let the devil have what belongs to you. Amen? And so there's those moments in life where you're forced into a faith situation because of an attack. You didn't ask for it, it just came. Has anyone ever experienced one of those situations? Okay. But then in this in particular situation is moments where God leads you into a place of using your faith, which is two different types. You know, one is you're thrown into the lion's den, you're thrown into the battle, and you have to use your faith. This is one that God offers you an invitation. Will you trust him? Will you go on a walk? Will you go on this journey? And that one is challenging. You can, I could preach it all day long, but now having to live it, it's a whole new level of trust in the Lord. And so maybe you can even see where your life is in that. We all have those moments where we're thrown into a battle. We got to use our faith. But maybe God's talking to you about some faith journeys of your own, building a new company, stepping out, starting your own business, you know, proposing to that person that you've been dating or whatever. You know, who knows what that is. But it's just a different way to see two different faith journeys. One is you're subjected to, one God invites you into. And you have to say yes. Isn't that a good little nugget? Yeah, I thought that was a good nugget. All right, open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to share two scriptures with you, and we're going to, share two scriptures with you, and then we're going to sing a little bit more, have a little bit of time together at the altar. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. I just felt the Lord wanted me to very clearly remind you of something. Verse 15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created. He is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He, talking about Christ, made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Christ and for him. He existed before anything else. And hear this, he holds all creation together. In the same context, the very next verse says, Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. So just list how Christ is creator of all. Christ is God. The world and the universe was created through him and for him. Christ holds the world together. And then it also reminds you he's the head of the church, which means he holds his church together as well. It's not the talents or abilities of the senior leadership. It's not your tastes or preferences. It's none of that stuff. He's the head of the church. He's the head of this church. He's the one that brought us here in the beginning because he had a story to write. But now he's turning the page of that story, but he's going to continue to write. Just because these characters shift out of the pages doesn't mean the author has left the building. He's the one that holds everything together. He's the invisible. He's God. He's all supreme authority and leader, and he's the one that's leading and guarding and guiding all of our lives and all of our steps. And so I want to help you see that God's the one that initiated this transition. It wasn't a distress or unrest in us. It just, you know, times and seasons. Believe me, there would have been other seasons in the past that would have been way different, but we didn't go, and we stayed, and we worked hard, and we did some things. So I want to say that very clearly so that you realize that God had to unlock us. God had to come to me in a dream. God had to confirm his word a couple of times before I would even pay attention to it because we were here. So if God is the one initiating the transition, if God is the one moving this, it's because God is still doing something in you and God has something else for you. None of us like change, and sometimes we think to ourselves, am I allowed to be a little bit sad about this whole thing? Of course you are. But it's more of a sentimental sad. It's a love you sad. It's a I miss you sad. It's not a grieving or a sad because you're afraid of the future, because you feel like God's not going to take care of you. God is going to take very good care of you. Amen. But yes, it's okay to miss one another. I'd hope so. I mean, the last thing we want is for you to be like, well, see you later, you know, we'd like to have a little bit of like emotion or something. That'd be nice. You know, you might say, well, how do we respond to you in the lobby? You give us a hug. Amen. Share a testimony. Share a story. You know, let us know how the church has blessed you. But also let's trust God together for your next season. The last scripture is this. It's in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And something, again, the Lord just wants to remind you, really build this image into your head. That the church is his. This church is his. John the Apostle had a vision of Jesus, and he wrote the book of Revelation, and he saw Jesus. And he starts here in verse 4, Revelation chapter 1. This letter is from John, this is the Apostle John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, who is still to come, from the sevenfold Spirit before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, he is the faithful witness to these things. He, Jesus, is the first to rise from the dead. He is the ruler of all the kingdoms of the world. All glory to him who loves us, who has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God, his Father. The church and everything is for Jesus, and then Jesus for God the Father. And so, again, all glory to him who's freed us. All glory. The church belongs to him. We don't touch the Lord's church. We don't lay hold or hold on to the Lord's church. All glory, all honor, all of the good things that has happened in your life has happened because Jesus made that happen. He may have used a sermon. He may have used some worship. He may have used a pastor at the altar. But it's all Jesus that has set you free, that has filled you with the Holy Spirit, that has given you the word in due season. It is Jesus that has comforted you. It is Jesus that has saved you. It is Jesus that has your future in his hand. It's Jesus. And sometimes we get our eyes on the vessel rather than the giver. Amen. And so John goes on to say in his revelation, he goes on to say that in verse 10, it was the Lord's day and I was worshiping in the Spirit, and suddenly I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet blast talking about Jesus. Write in a book, Jesus said, everything that you see and send it to the seven churches in the cities of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And when I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven golden lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. That's Jesus. He was wearing a long white robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and hair were like wool, white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were a flame of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice thundered like the mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword proceeded out of his mouth. And his face shone like the sun. Jesus went on to speak to him in verse 17. He said, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever. I hold the keys of death and the grave. Write down what you've seen, both the things that are now happening, the things that will happen. This is the meaning of the mysteries of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven gold lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Real quickly, and we're going to worship. Worship team, you can come. The vision here, Jesus is in the midst of seven golden lampstands, and he has seven stars in his hand. Those lampstands represent the seven churches. And what I want you to see is very clearly is, first of all, Jesus is not this meek little lamb in this story, but he's the king of the universe in this story. His eyes are a flame of fire. His face is brilliant. He's wearing the shining white robes. He is the victor. Can I hear an amen on that? And I love his position in this story because he's walking among the lampstands. He is walking among his church because, see, Jesus sees those churches as his, not being owned by the pastors or the people. The church belongs to him. He died for the church. He's building the church. He sets the members in the body of that church. He is more interested and more concerned about what goes on in that church than anybody else in the whole universe. The church belongs to Jesus. He's not out there real far away on a throne somewhere. He's in the midst of the golden lampstands. He's in the midst of his churches. I hope your theology sees Jesus every weekend walking up and down every aisle and every row, considering, judging, testing, helping, ministering, loving, bringing what you need, because he's that involved in his church. That's the way Jesus sees the church. He's in the midst of your journey as a church. He's not just decreeing things from heaven. He's in the midst of the church. And then he has the messengers in his right hand. The messengers, most theologians believe that those messengers, though the King James says angels, the word is messengers. Most people read John, believe John was writing these letters to the leaders or the pastors or the bishops or apostles of those seven churches. And I love that picture because it means that God has the pastors of the churches also in his hand. So God has, Jesus has us in his hand, which also means he can move and send us as he desires because we're in his hand. We're not in our own hand. We're in the hand of Jesus. So we're safe in his hand, but so are you. And so in this whole season, it's really a matter of like, God's teaching all of us to trust him in this season. This is a trust walk for you too. Will you trust that the Lord has something greater in your future? Will you get stuck looking at the past? Will you get stuck because you don't like change? Be a new wineskin. See, old wineskins, they get stuck and they don't want to grow or be stretched anymore because they like things a certain way. And Jesus said, you can't receive the new thing I'm doing unless you're willing to be stretched like a new wineskin. And so that's what God's inviting us as a church, even Maria and I. It's super easy to see our life here for the next 20 years because we're comfortable. But now God's asked us to get uncomfortable and to walk by faith again. God's asking you to do the same thing, to allow yourself to be made a little uncomfortable for a while because he's stretching you to do some new things, but he has more to bring into your life. Will you trust the King? Will you trust the Lord of the church, the head of the church? This is a work of God. You're included. God is inviting you in your life in your next season. God has something big for your next season. God does big things when he's setting you up for big things. Big shifts mean big shifts, right? So you can be looking forward to another big shift in your life. So why don't you stand up? I'm going to ask the worship team. They're going to lead us in a couple of songs, just a couple of choruses, and we're going to do something special at the end. So I encourage you not to leave right away. Can you guys help us with these chairs? Help us move them out of the way. But I'm going to invite you to the altar or to move out of your seat or something just to have a little bit of time with the King. Say, you're the King of my life. You're the ruler. You're the Lord. My pastor used to say, Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. You say, Jesus, I trust you. Maybe you're walking through something of your own journey and you just needed to remember that he's in the midst of the candlesticks. You need to remember he's the Lord of the church, which is you. He's not going to leave you in the middle of the road. He's not going to be unfaithful to you. He cares more about you than anybody in the whole universe. And so whether you worship at your seat or maybe come down and spend a little bit of extra time just reaffirming, I trust you, King. You're my King, you're my leader. And then come down and have a little bit of time with Jesus. And then don't leave because we're going to do something special at the end after we sing a song or two together, okay?